Welcome to the Stabbin' Stylists Podcast. I'm Randa.
And I'm Ashley.
We are just two stylists who love true crime and hair, and we're going to tell you about both.
This is a true crime podcast. These stories may be disturbing to some. Listener discretion is advised. Hello, friends.
Hi, guys.
First off, we know we are hairdressers that have a true crime podcast, so you have jokes, but we cannot leave your hair at a crime scene.
Like, we would have to literally rip it out of your head. Like, a bulb would have to be present for there to be DNA.
So if you only have a hair, like if you go pull a hair out of somebody's just hairbrush and just drop it at a crime scene, it's not going to do anything because it's probably not going to have the DNA on it. But, fun fact, the only thing you can't find from hair is gender.
Which is weird to me.
That is weird. We didn't even know that.
No.
Super, super interesting. Your hair holds on to everything. So,
including medications, which is why some drug tests are hair.
Because you've got to think, if your hair is real long and it's 4 years old, well then everything you had 4 years ago is still in the bottom of your hair.
Weird, fun fact about hair.
Send us your hair facts. Send us stuff you want to know for hair facts. Because the funny part is we'll sit down and be like, what's our hair fact going to be?
Oh, yeah, this. Oh, yeah, that.
Yeah. So get on our Instagram.
It's just things that we talked with our clients about that week.
Or the people we work with.
Yeah.
Just little things. But if you have a
hair fact.
So if
there's something you want to know, holler.
Yeah. We're not all about true crime. We're about hair, too. Send us your messages. So let's talk about the biggest reported ghost story in Tennessee.
Ooh.
And that is the Bell Witch.
Other than Ashley's house.
So the Bell Witch. I think pretty much everybody in Tennessee has heard of the Bell Witch. It's not the Blair Witch.
Yeah, not the Blair Witch, not to be confused.
Which was...
Although, isn't it kind of like loosely based on the legend of the Bell Witch?
I think so. I always heard that.
Yeah.
Back after I found out it was fake, because
the
first
found footage fake.
Yes. Oh, yes. I remember going to see that with my stepmom, Melissa, and, like, her friends.
It is one of the only, like, genres of horror that, like, absolutely gets me, where I'm like, oh, no, I don't like that.
Well, and especially back when it came out, because we believed that shit was real.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Because it was marketed like it was real.
And it wasn't like now, but there was the internet, but not where you could just find anything. And those actors, I've actually read, went into hiding for a little bit to make it like seem real.
Like they were, yeah, it was a real thing.
Anyway, yeah, that's a fun story, but that's not what we're talking about.
No, not absolutely not.
We're talking about the Bell Witch. So John Bell was born in Halifax County, North Carolina in 1750. And in 1782, he married Lucy Adams, which was actually the...
Please tell me why I just started singing Way Back Yonder on the Chattahoochee, thinking about how long ago that was.
That was a long time.
Instead of Way Down. If nobody else does, I think I'm hilarious.
I do too. I think I'll start laughing all the time and be like, so I'm so funny.
I'm so funny, guys.
John married Lucy Williams, who was the daughter of a prominent farmer, and they actually ended up buying a farm in, like, the same county, and they began getting, you know, money real quick.
That money.
Wealth and influence very quickly.
Okay.
So in 1804, the family at this point was John and Lucy, and their children were Jesse, John Jr., Drury, Benjamin, Esther, Zadok, Elizabeth, Richard Williams, and Joel Egbert. They all built a house and started a farm on 1,000 acres, located on the Red River in
Robertson
County. But only a decade after moving to their new farm that they were so excited about, they found themselves in the center of an epic haunting. John Bell actually first came across this animal sitting among like the rows of corn on his property, and it was said to have had the head of a rabbit and the body of a dog. Yeah. And that's what he thought too, so he shot at it. Missing.
Well, back in, you shot at what you didn't know about.
That's true.
Yeah, that's what they did.
That's true. So it disappeared, but this was just the beginning. And, you know, he probably shouldn't have shot at it.
I mean, I don't know if I've had the balls to shoot at something like that.
Well, this is where the origin of the
I would
Bell
be afraid
Witch
that it was
begins.
Come after me. You know what I'm saying? That's what I would be.
I've talked before in a spooky episode about how I feel about ghost animals.
Well, that sounds an awful like a familiar, if you ask me.
That sounds terrifying.
I mean, it ain't just something as simple as a jackalope. You know what I'm saying? This is a dog with a rabbit head.
Right. Well, I'm sure he wished he didn't shoot at it whenever, you know, a spirit emerges and says, I am a spirit. I once was very happy, but I have been disturbed and made unhappy. I am the spirit of a person who is buried in the woods nearby, and the grave was disturbed. My bones disinterred and scattered, and one of my teeth was lost under this house. I'm here looking for that tooth.
She had a lot to say.
This can't be verified, but there were like tons of Indian burial grounds around the area. Personally, I'd be like, let's find this too. Let's dig it up.
Where's she at? Point me in the right direction.
Well, that same evening, the Bells began hearing sounds of someone beating on the walls of their log cabin, and it would go all night.
Don't love that.
The following night, the sounds returned again and again, night after night, becoming louder and more forceful each evening. Each night when the noises began, John Bell and his sons would rush out and be like, we're going to catch somebody's
mess. Who
the fuck
is out here?
There was never any evidence. So over the course of the following weeks, the unexplained activity eventually became to manifest itself inside the cabin.
Oh, she inside.
The call's coming from inside the house.
The call is inside the house.
The youngest Bell children would often awake in the middle of the night complaining on the sounds of rats gnawing on their bedposts. But there were no rats and there was no damage.
They need some cats.
The cats will get rid of that witch, guys. Get the cats. The children would also claim their bed covers and pillows were forcibly pulled from them in the night and thrown to the floor.
I don't like that either.
The whisper started next.
Oh, no, thank you.
At first, the sounds were too low to be distinct about what was being said, but it was a tone and a rhythm.
I have a small question. At this point, would we not be trying to move?
I mean, personally, I would.
You know, I mean, we've got 1,000 acres here. Why do we have to have the cabin on this one?
Over there looks fine.
You got 999 more.
I got 999 acres,
and
this ain't one. This ain't one.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to take some time because, again, this is like 1700s, but I will just be reassuring. I'm going to be like, I'm moving it.
I will pick up this whole house and move it. Just tell me what you need.
Spirit lady, can you help me out? I mean, you're beating on the walls.
Spirit lady. Well,
all I'm saying is I'm not above bargaining with a ghost. Okay? That's all I'm saying.
They probably should have started bargaining with her at this point because the whisper started low, just kind of like a tone and a rhythm that reminded them of a feeble woman singing hymns.
Nope.
Like the beatings on the walls.
Absolutely.
They would get louder. In addition to hymns, they would start quoting scripture.
Mm-mm. No, don't like that.
It would carry on intelligent conversation with members of the family. And once quoted word-for-word religious sermons that were given on the same day, 13 miles apart.
Okay.
They did not see that stream live on Facebook. There was no reason for her to know, I say her, for that entity to know that.
They ain't had cars.
No.
She wasn't driving over there.
No.
And sitting in the back pew.
Nope.
I don't. No, thank you.
So
No, thank you.
Dr. Mize from Simpson, Kentucky came to exorcise the
Yep.
witch and was,
Exorcise the demons.
well, he was mocked and frightened away. She bullied this man off of the property.
I mean, we stand a confident queen, but this could prove to be problematic.
Well, and she also extremely disliked the family slaves.
Yeah, I'd say so.
She would torment them relentlessly, beating them,
Oh,
and refuse them into
no.
the house. No, she was a horrible, horrible entity.
No. No, see, okay, so here's what in my mind, I thought she was like mad that they had slaves, is what
No,
I thought.
she was mad
No,
at the
she was
slaves
just an
too.
asshole.
She hated everyone.
Okay, well, we gotta exercise your ass out of here. You gotta go.
Well, a Bell slave named Dean stated that he encountered the witch several times, and if she appeared frequently in the form of a large black dog or a wolf, sometimes with two heads, sometimes just with no head.
I'm sensing a theme here.
He also claimed to be turned into a mule and attacked several times by the witch.
He was turned into a mule, and then I'm presuming she was a wolf and attacked him.
Yes, I assume.
Okay. I believe Dean.
You know I don't like ghost animals once again, so
It's a no from Ashley, dog.
it's a no from me. So initially, John Bell told his family just don't talk about it, because back then you did not talk about this kind of stuff. I mean, let's
No.
be honest, that's not going to make any friends in the
They'd hang
neighborhood.
people for less. Let's just put
Right.
it that way.
You don't want to tell anybody. But he messed up because he told James Johnson, his friend and close neighbor.
Well, let me
Well,
think. James told everybody else, didn't he?
James told his wife, and he actually offered to spend the night in the home with him, but that would be terrifying for him because he too would hear the bangings and the whispers, and actually jumped up out of bed and said, "In the name of the Lord, who are you and what do you want?" But
Well, we know that ain't gonna work.
no reply was given, and the least rest of the night was fine. But he shouldn't have told his wife.
Because she told everybody else.
Yes. Once he learned, it was a matter of time before everybody knew. And the word was spreading so rapidly that people started traveling to the Bell Farm to see this.
Really?
But the neighbors and the visitors were not immune from the witch. And even in one time, she set three dogs, like, sicked three dogs on traveling Shakers who were coming by the farm. Just
She
like,
just said, here's some dogs that are gonna eat your ass alive.
yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't like this.
All these visitors are coming by to see, and one of these visitors was actually President Andrew Jackson. Now, Jackson wasn't a president yet,
He was problematic as he was.
but at this time he was still a major general, and this was 1819 when he visited the home. Turns out that John Jr.,
Okay.
Drury, and Jesse had all served under his command at the Battle of New Orleans in 1815.
Interesting.
And so they were like, "Hey, our farm back home in
Hey, by the
Tennessee.
way, our house is fucking haunted.
Right, like you should come see the ghost, kind of like me in my house."
But we know your ghost.
So the future president came to the Bell's property with, several other men, horses, and a wagon. And upon arriving at the Bell property, these horses suddenly skirt stopped. Nope. And they
You
would not
can't
go
tell me
on.
them horses weren't like,
Exactly.
You don't, y'all not see her? No.
Jackson proclaimed, "By the eternal, boys, that must be the Bell Witch." And in response, an unknown female voice called out that the men could now proceed to the house and that she would visit them later. Suddenly, without
That's
prompting,
not a good thing.
the horses started to go.
Weird.
So that evening, which, it was quiet at first, and I'm sure he might have been getting a little bit disappointed, being like, "What's going on here?" And Jackson was a self-proclaimed witch tamer, and he
Oh,
began boasting
God.
and taunting the entity.
Spare me.
He proclaimed that the reason no activity occurred was a result of its fear of him and what he could do to it. Without warning, he began to scream and his body violently jerking about in all directions as though he was being beaten and stuck with pins until eventually he was flying headfirst and out the door of the house. This same female voice that they heard earlier in the day.
Little bitch, didn't you?
The voice returned and threatened to expose the torment and another fraud within the group if they continued to stay in the house. So Jackson's men were like, let's get the fuck out of here.
He said, all right, dog bit.
He insisted on staying because he wanted to know who the so-called fraud was. He was like, no, let's stay. Let's find out who the fraud is. But she never ended up telling him. And the following morning, they were out of there.
Gone. They gone.
So Betsy Bell, the daughter, was most frequently abused by the witch. And this witch hated her. Nobody knows why, but the witch hated her. And when she decided that she was marrying her fiancé, Joshua Gardner, the witch said, no, you are not. And she would, like, abuse her and just taunt her relentlessly. So Joshua ended up being like, you know, no, we're going to stay engaged. It's fine. But then Betsy was like, no, let's put off the marriage for a little bit. So the attacks ended up getting so bad that she was just... like, even not even on the property.
Why wouldn't she just
property.
Get married and move away?
Well, she did eventually. But, like, even off the property, she would get smothering sensations and this.
Oh,
and
really?
Yes. And I even have an incident that she described. She said, when the spirit became so tantalizing, filling my mind with horror and causing me to become so nervous, my parents often sent me to a neighbor's for the rest of the night. My first night away from home was spent with Finny Thorne. When we retired, there came a loud knocking sound outside our door, which seemed to fly open and a great gust of wind was felt. Finny, that's a cute name, sprang up at once and lit a candle. To our surprise, the front door was not open. Then a voice softly spoke, Betsy, you should not have come over here. You know I can follow you anywhere. Now get a good night's sleep. A soft hand patted my cheek and the voice again assured me that it would not be disturbing me anymore that night.
Oh, she just said, just so you know, I'm here, bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Just sit with that for a minute, yep. She said.
So the rest of the family would send Betsy to stay with their friend Frank Miles because they were like, you know, Frank can protect you. He's there for you. And Betsy said, Frank was one of the most powerful men any of us ever saw. He was just fearless as any living man. One time he said to me, come sit by me, my sweet little sister. Nothing will bother you while I'm here. And the witch responded, you go home. You can do no good here. The witch began abusing Betsy, slapping her, pulling her hair, and turning on Miles, knocking him over.
What the fuck?
So, I mean, this spirit hated Betsy.
Yeah.
Don't know why, but she hated her.
Was not a fan.
She called off her marriage to Gardner, didn't get married to him. But eventually she was courted and she was married by her former school teacher, Richard Powell. So even though this witch was like constantly beating the shit out of her and hated her, in 1820, she just up and left. She and her husband left and settled in Mississippi. So yeah. She finally did just get away, which good on her.
Yeah.
On December 19th, 1820, John Bell just couldn't get out of bed anymore. And John Jr. went to the cupboard to retrieve the medicine for his care. And instead of pulling out the three medicine vials, he only found one. It was 1/3 full of a dark, smoky, liquid, unknown substance. The voice of the witch said, it's useless for you to try to relieve old Jack. I've got him this time. He will never get up from that bed again. She claimed that she gave old Jack a big dose of it last night, and that was he was fast asleep, which fixed him. The contents of the vial were thrown into the fire and erupted into a blue blaze.
That's dramatic.
John Bell died December 20th, 1820. The Bell Witch crashed the funeral, disrupting the service and singing body drinking songs. Damn. She's relentless.
Even at the funeral,
like, she had it out for them. John Bell's funeral was actually one of the largest ever held in Robinson County. And as the friends and family left the graveyard, she was, like, laughing. The singing did not stop until the last person left.
Wow.
So, after John Bell's death, she wasn't around other than her demand for Betsy's marriage to not happen. That was really the only thing that she had been worried about that John's death had kind of fulfilled her purpose. That's what she was after. So the activity dropped off pretty sharply, but it was kind of still active through 1821. Soon she came and she told the family that she would be gone for 7 years. True to her word, the family remaining on the property, which was Lucy, Richard, Williams, and Joe, claimed the witch did return February 1828. Same way as before, shaking beds, unexplained noises, just being a real asshole. And before she left, one more time, she promised that in 107 years that she would come back to the direct descendant of John Bell. But there's really been no other specific instances since then. She became known as the Bell Witch. Mary Catherine Cat Batts lived near them, and her husband kept a small farm where they raised, five children. And her husband had actually been paralyzed in an accident, which left her to be the primary breadwinner. She's the one that kept the farm running. And they never really had much money, and she was known as rough, tough, and eccentric, which back then was not okay for a woman.
Well, she was just a bad bitch doing what she had to do.
So she tended to make a scene everywhere she went.
Of course.
She was confronting, she was arguing, just being the main attraction, just
Well,
being
she
old
had to stick
Kate.
up for herself, or nobody else was gonna.
She had shit going on, you know? So, of course, this meant that people said that she was a witch.
Well, yeah.
Kate and Frederick were actually neighbors of the Bell family. And, of course, Kate didn't get along with people. So Kate and John didn't get along. And one time they even became violent in an argument that they were having.
Violent.
When John Bell died, the family, blamed the Bell Witch. And somehow the Bell Witch ended up getting the nickname Kate from the residents. They started suspecting that actually Kate Batts was the Bell Witch. And despite avidly denying any involvement in either witchcraft or anything to do with this, Kate Batts actually outlived John by 22 years. There's no connection to her as the witch, but she's said to be the Bell Witch. And, this cave, the Bell Witch Cave, people go visit it. It's a huge attraction. It played a very minor role in this story. The cave really doesn't have much to do with anything, but just through the years, it has become where people go to
Like the
visit the Bell
place
Witch.
to go
Yeah,
see
because you got to
Bella.
think the house isn't there anymore.
Right.
So people go to the cave and people say that, they can't take photographs or get weird photographs and stuff like that. But now the only place to visit is the cave because the Bell Witch house is gone.
Well, if the house was gone, maybe she got her fucking tooth.
I mean, that sh the Bell Witch sounded like a real asshole. It might have been Kate. Kate might have just been a separate asshole, you know?
Why would you even be mean to the slaves? They didn't ask to be there.
I know. They're like, we don't want to be here either.
Anyway, so yeah, she sounds like a real gem.
Yeah, she was wonderful.
Right, y'all. You want to talk about the Flatwoods Monster? So we're gonna go to Flatwoods, shocking, West Virginia, September 12th, 1952.
Nice.
This is around 7 p.m., duskish. There's some boys out playing in a field, out by their house, and they see this strange light in the sky. And this light flies over them towards the hills, and they're like talking, and they think, oh, they're like, oh man, maybe that's a meteor or something. Because it's round and the tail looks like it's fiery,
Yeah,
right?
like a generic comet
Yeah,
would.
so like, exactly. And the only problem with that theory is that it is flying really freaking low, like almost hovering.
Oh.
And they watch this thing, and it tilts up, flies over the hill, and drops out of sight.
Nope.
Now, mind you, this is 1952.
Yeah, that would really blow my mind, especially in 1952.
So when they watch it drop out of the sight, they're like, oh shit, it's in the neighbor's field. And so they're all like, oh, let's go look at it. Because they see this glowing light coming from the other side of the field, like over the hill. So they're
Yeah.
like, it's in that field, right? So they go back home, and two of the boys, Freddie and Eddie May, get their mom, Kathleen, who's a hairdresser, and she's like, y'all are too much for me right now, And y'all gotta be kidding. So they're like, no, mom, come out here on the porch. And from the porch, she sees blinking lights and a red glow coming from the other side of the hill.
Yeah.
And she's, oh shit, y'all are right. She's like, all right, we'll go, but I'm going with you.
Yeah.
And she calls this other boy. He's a little bit older than her two boys. His name's Gene Lemon, and he's been in like the National Guard. So she's like, Gene's coming with us.
Jean's got us. Jean's got us.
And then one of the neighborhood dogs, he's going with them too. All right. So they all head off towards the lights, right? And as they're getting over this hill and getting to where they think this thing is, this weird like fog mist starts rolling in.
See, I like to think I'm adventurous, but as soon as I saw the weird mist, I'd be like, "Brr."
Well, everybody starts fucking coughing.
Oh,
I'm like hacking up a lung. And their eyes start burning. And then they can see that it's not a meteor or a plane, okay? And they all describe it a lot of different ways. But while they're all staring at this, no one sees this fucking thing that is coming down the hill at them. And all of a sudden, Gene sees the monster. He swings around with this flashlight. They see coming down the hill this floating, human-shaped, but massive, this 15 feet tall. It's got a point on top of its head.
Oh, I just Googled a picture.
Yeah, it looks so fucking creepy. A round red face, eyes, quote unquote, that are just holes shooting out beams of greenish gold light.
It looks like a, we'll put a picture up, but it looks like a skeleton in an alien costume.
Yes, with a hood on. So Gene points his flashlight at it and realizes that this thing is translucent. And it also has glowing lights inside of all of these robes and folds that it has on for clothes. And it has these claw-like hands. And Kathleen actually says that the hands look like antennas. And the boys think that the eyes look like portholes. Okay? They can't see any legs. And the monster comes up to him, squirts this like oily substance on him and retreats.
Oh no. Oh, this is a nightmare.
Gene is like shocked and falls on the ground and drops the flashlight. The dog takes the fuck off. And then everyone runs away. They're hopping fences. They run home. When they get home, the dog is under the porch, just shaking.
Yeah, he's no thank you.
And so then the whole crew is getting sick, and so they're throwing up, they're coughing, they're having trouble breathing. Kathleen calls the sheriff because this is 1952. There's no 911.
Oh, yeah. You
There's
have to
no
literally
911.
call
She
directly
had to
to,
call the
yeah.
literal sheriff's office. And now, again, this is 1952. This is a very small rural town in West Virginia. She calls him at 8:15 p.m. and reports the incident and requests medical attention. And it is at that time that she is informed that the sheriff is out in another part of the county investigating a plane that disappeared. The sheriff is investigating an incident at the time that she's reporting this. A hitchhiker reports seeing a small two-seater plane, like one of those little Cessna
Yeah.
things that are like painted yellow most of the time. Like just a little two-seater plane in the sky. And it crashed into the river. Caught on fire,
Yeah.
crash. And when the cops show up, there is no evidence of a crash anywhere.
Which is weird because they saw it in a field and he saw it in a river.
Yeah. So the cops are like, oh, this is probably a hoax. And they head back to the station. And then they learn of the situation at the May House. Well, during that time, they send out this journalist to help the Mays. The last name is Stewart. Now, Stewart was also ex-military.
Okay.
So he had been in combat and everything. And apparently, the state police called him often
Yeah.
to go send. He was like an honorary investigator, I
Right.
guess. But
Well,
officially,
this
he was
is
a
probably the
journalist.
most action at one time that this place has ever got.
Right. So they're like, ah, we don't have enough people. Call Stewart. So Stewart goes to the May House, and the May House is in absolute chaos. Gene is still throwing up. The boys are throwing up. Kathleen has the oil all over her uniform still because back then beauticians wore
Yeah,
a uniform to
which
work.
I love those. I wish we could wear those.
Everyone is terrified. Stewart convinces the oldest two boys to take him up to the crash site. And when they leave, they grab a shotgun. Okay, so he's taking it serious. And when they get up there, everything's gone. There is not a trace of this thing anywhere.
She's like, I got the oil to prove something happened.
He said, everything gone except her. There's this like metallic odor in the air. And Stuart says it's like mustard gas, but it's not. It's more metal smelling than that. And because he's been in combat. He knows what mustard gas is. And Stuart says, okay, we're going to come back tomorrow in the daylight. So he does. And he comes back and there are two skid marks about 8 feet apart that are visible going up away from where everybody was attacked. Like it's like tracks or like skis or something. There's oil residue and there's a circular indentation in the ground where they said the crash site was.
Okay.
The grass is all pressed down. Okay.
Like you can tell something's been there.
Right. And so Stuart decides he doesn't want to publish any info yet because he's still like, I don't know what the fuck. And so then the next day, Kathleen gets a visit from two men claiming to also be journalists. They've heard about this. They want to come look, right? Kathleen's like, okay. Because, again, Stuart's not published it.
How do you know about
this? But she does end up taking them to the crash site. And the journalists touch the oil. And they even go so far, like, they're getting it, like, all over their suits.
Yeah.
So they're, like, touching it, and they're, like, it's on their hands. Like, and then, it's almost like they're doing it all.
I started to say, like, this sounds kind of weird and sexual in a way.
And they keep saying something to each other, like, what do you think Ed's going to think of this?
I don't know. Somebody tell me.
Well, and then they just thank Kathleen, and they leave, right? They come back to the May house. The next day,
can any more weird shit happen to me?
No. They show up the next day and they're like, hey, we're not really journalists. We're officials from Washington, D.C.
Oh.
Men in Black, isn't it?
Yeah.
And they say that they put up the whole reporter ruse so that she would talk to them. Right? Which I'm like, she's already fucking terrified. She
probably would have talked to you if you had said that you were Washington, D.C. Been through enough. Just tell her.
They ask a lot of questions about the oil, and they even ask her for a uniform because she hasn't washed the uniform yet. And so they take samples from the uniform.
It's like, why didn't you just ask me this yesterday?
Right, exactly. She's like, I would have given this to you. And a month later, Kathleen receives a letter from the Pentagon with a picture that looks like the monster with an explanation that this was just experimental rockets and that there were two guys in this rocket and it crashed.
Oh, okay.
But no explanation on who the two men were, or where they went, or what happened to them, or where this rocket is now.
Or, like, just why in general were you acting so weird?
Now, by this time, the word has started to spread about these weird incidents. And a famous paranormal investigator named Ivan Sanderson comes onto the scene. He shows up in town and he's like, here to solve it, baby. So Ivan and a couple of his fellow investigators come out. They start to interview the group that went out to their crash site and all that and go through what happened. And some of the other residents also have eyewitnessed, like the hitchhiker, some other weird things. And so they're all, like, there's several different reports of something in the sky over, like, West Virginia.
Something happened. Multiple people saw it. There's something here.
One guy says he didn't see it land, but did see a piece break off in the same area where the boy saw the monster. Okay. And then there's other sightings of weird things in the sky that same night in Maryland, D.C., Pennsylvania, and California. Okay. So Ivan theorizes that on September 12, 1952, there are five UFOs flying over Braxton County, West Virginia. One, the May saw in Flatwood. One, the plane reported to the sheriff by the hitchhiker. One goes east towards the regional airport. And one flies over Sugar Creek, which is another area of Braxton County. And then the last one heads for Charleston, but disintegrates in the air. And he theorizes that this fleet of five UFOs came from the Atlantic over Baltimore and into West Virginia. And that somewhere over Braxton County, Something went wrong. They all scattered and they all burned up and disintegrated and yada, yada, yada. The monster in the Flatwoods that they saw, they thinks it went back to the ship, which is a bad idea because apparently the ship is on fire because it has entered Earth's atmosphere. I guess it burned up with the ship. I don't really know, like, past that what his theory is, but that's his theory, is that these are five different ships, okay? Local scientists theorized that it was a meteor that broke into several pieces and that the gases from the impact in the Flatwoods created the illusion of a monster in the night fog.
But, I mean, one of the boys peed himself. That's got to be one scary illusion.
This incident is an actual military file.
Oh.
And as of now, Braxton County just embraces that it's the home of the Flatwoods Monster.
I mean, you gotta have something, you know?
And, the Mays still maintain to this day what they saw. I mean, they want it to be gases from a meteor, but they're like, there's no way.
She's like, no, I didn't make that up, guys.
So, guys, that is the Flatwoods Monster.
I like it. Do you think it was an alien? What do you think it was?
I don't know. I mean, the experimental rocket thing sounds plausible, but I don't like that there's not a whole lot more to, you know, to that. You saw the picture of it.
Yeah,
this thing looks weird.
But that also makes me wonder if it could be some type of meteor and these gases. Could these gases cause, like, hallucinations?
But they all have the same hallucination?
But is that a mob mentality?
I don't know. See, that
I love stuff like this.
This is so weird. Like, is it an alien? Is it, you know?
Right. Like, what?
Is it a government cover-up? Like, what is it?
What in West Virginia, like, fucked them up?
But yeah, Flatwoods Monster.
Flatwoods Monster and the Bell Witch, not the Blair Witch.
Keep it spooky, y'all.
Bye.
Don't whistle in the woods at night.
Bye, y'all.